Thank you, Nancy. Didn't you just adore those kids up here singing? Wasn't that great? That was great. I love to see them up here singing. It's wonderful. I know many of you like chili, right? Bacon. And you love okra. Yes. But I've never eaten mustard on it. I might have to try that, right, Brenda? Huh? No? I'll try it sometime. I guess it'll be good, you know. Yeah. Knowing me, yeah. Knowing me, I don't turn down a whole lot of food, you know. Preachers don't, do they? All right, take your Bibles and turn with me again to, I'm sorry. Let's do this first. About our praise and worship, our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Not only today, but every day, right? We want to be a living servant, sacrifice to the Lord, and thanks living every day. So our text again this morning will be Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, Psalms 51, verse 17, and then Hebrews 13, 15, and from last week, this is part two of letting Thanksgiving be thanks living. And let's look at our scripture this morning, beginning with Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And then Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise. And then Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that gives thanks to his name. Now, the common word from these three verses is sacrifices. God loves us to be living sacrifices because he offered up the perfect sacrifice years and years ago when Jesus Christ came into this world. And we'll be celebrating this coming month in December. But these are common words here in these verses, these three that I read. And if you go throughout the Bible, you will see that continually throughout the Bible, used in different ways. But this morning, we want to do it as Thanksgiving. So let's consider two other biblical. Last week, it was a sacrifice of our person or our body. So we want to consider some other biblical sacrifices of Thanksgiving in addition to last week. So spiritual sacrifices you can offer to God every day as a gesture of your appreciation to him. So the first sacrifice was a body, a sacrifice of the body. And this morning we want to look at the sacrifice of wholeness. When Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about it, and in his epistles, he often talks about the purity of the heart and the cleanness of the mind. But we want to look at the sacrifice of wholeness. And we see, again, in Psalms 51:17, where the psalmist says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." That means humility. "A broken and a contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise that." So, we find David here in Psalms chapter 51. We find him here in a broken state. He has committed adultery, and now he's broken before God, not just over his sin, but over God's goodness to him, willing to forgive him of his sin because he brought it before God. And this is in verse 1 of chapter 51 of Psalms, where he stated that. But now it's hit him, and he's done in the face of God, who has done so much for him. He's broken and making a sacrifice of wholeness or purity. He's bringing it for the Lord as a thanksgiving offering in order to turn it into a thanksgiving of his life from there forward. So, the best thing you can do this Thanksgiving is to give God a sacrifice of a broken heart. A broken heart. Repent of coldness towards him, indifference, petty sins, which often can control our lives, can just take over and control our lives. Now, reminds me of a story of a lady I heard about. Her. She had lost her son and her husband in a war, and she was very angry with God. And the next door lady, there was a door next lady who had five sons who also went to war, and they all came back. And she ended up hating her as well and was very bitter towards her. She hated God. She hated that lady. She hated everyone. And one night she had a dream. An angel came to her and said, I'm going to give you 10 minutes of your son's life. Which 10 minutes do you want? As a baby? As a little boy? A teenager? Or when he was a soldier? She thought and said, I want him as a dirty-faced little boy. That day when he got so mad at me, clenched his fist and said, I hate you, Mama. But he came back 5 minutes later crying, said he was sorry, and he hugged me. She said, I'll never felt so close to that boy as that moment when he changed his heart and he came back to me. She woke up from the dream and realized she had been treating God the same way. How many of us has done that in our life? May not have dreamed it like she did, but in reality, we had that in our heart. We never make God happier than when we come back to him and say we're sorry. Someone once said, the main problem with a living sacrifice that keeps us from living our thanksgiving is that it keeps crawling off of the altar. That can happen so easily. See, God's pattern for thanksgiving, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Well, if we look in verse 2, we'll look at that verse again. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that which is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So first of all, in verse 2, it points out some things to us. Be nonconformist, which means consistently resisting the suggestions and pressures of the world around us. See, that's how we can be thankful, and that's how we can have things living throughout the year if we will not conform to the world. And then we have the renewing of our minds, as verse 2 says. Constantly asking God to teach us to think as He thinks. Now, if we'll do that, if we'll think as God thinks, you know, we'll be joyful. We'll be happy. And we can have thanks living every day. And then estimate ourselves honestly. That means examine. Get down deep inside like the King David, shepherd boy, David, in Psalms 51. I mean, that took some deep thought, deep conviction. He honestly brought it before God because it was pointed out to him. Having neither false humility nor inappropriate pride in our serving relationship with others as well. And then we need to utilize our gifts. Identifying those gifts to be used in helping others. Finding a purpose, a place, and a position to serve others, other believers. So those are the things that we can do. We can be transformed. Our lives into thanksgiving, which will turn into thanksgiving. Now, let's look again at a second sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise. And that's what we've been doing this morning, isn't it? We come in, I hope you've been doing that all week. How many of you have been praising the Lord all week? I know you have. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know that it has to be on our heart and mind this time of year, especially as we just came through Thanksgiving, and we want to continue that, thanksgiving in every day of our lives. And as we think about praise, we have so much to be thankful for. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 again, I'd like to share that verse again. "Through him then, let us continually," you see, not just one day or one week, but continually, each day, "offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that gives God, thanks to his name." So, that's a praise of thanksgiving. A praise is a sacrifice. And then in Psalms 69:30, it says, "I will praise the name of God with song." We've been doing that this morning. "And magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs." You know, back in those days, in the Old Testament days, an ox in those days was like a 10K. That's a lot of money, wasn't it? Compared to a Cadillac or some expensive car. Of course, they're much more than that now. But in comparison of what the psalmist is talking about, this was a sacrifice. And we offer up a sacrifice in our praise to the Lord. In verse 15, it says, "Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise." And note this verse says, continually. I want to emphasize that because sometimes we forget that we are to praise God continually. We are to pray continually. We are to thank him continually in our life. And if we do that, nothing else will enter in negative in our life, will keep us from growing and maturing as a Christian in Jesus Christ. So as a kingdom of priests, we are to offer sacrifices to God. And even Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he says, praise God, offer up ourselves continually in sacrifice. And a spiritual sacrifice is something done or given in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for His glory. For His glory. And in verse 15, he states that praise is such a sacrifice. And good works and sharing material blessings are also spiritual sacrifices, as we, if we would read on in verse 16. So, guess what? We don't have to come to church just to praise God. Turn thanksgiving into thanksgiving each day. We don't come to church in order just to start your praise, but we are to share it with one another. Now, there are three things here, so don't forget, we can praise God three ways. In song, bring our sacrifices to the Lord, our living sacrifices. Now, in song, we bring the sacrifice. As we enter the sanctuary, everyone should be singing, making sacrifice, praise to the Lord. Didn't it just bless your heart again when these children were up here singing? I mean, it was a blessing because that's what they're doing. And children love to sing. They love to praise. They love to worship. They love to give up their time for the Lord. And it offers up a sacrifice, even children. And I know Jesus smiles on that. In Proverbs 27:21, it says, as a fining pot for silver and a furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And not only do we do that in song, but we can do it in prayer as well. Did you know that hallelujah appears 24 times in Psalms? 24 times, hallelujah. Which means praise to God. And this is almost associated with prayer, hallelujah. And, you know, when you pray, I mean, we get excited when we pray, when we're communicating with God, even up when we're offering up our thanksgiving, we're saying hallelujah, God, for answered prayers and anticipating those answered prayers as God continues to work in our lives. In Psalms 104, the hallelujah of nature. You know, the psalmists, they were thanking God for nature. You know, we are not to worship nature because it's God's creation. God created all of that, but we are to enjoy it, and many, many do. We go outside, we enjoy the nature, we enjoy the trees and animals and everything in God's creation. So we're saying hallelujah to God's creation. And in Psalms 105, a hallelujah of providence. You know, knowing that God's in control of all things, no matter what happens on this earth, God is in control. So we say hallelujah to God's providence because He knows and is in control. And then when we look at Psalms 106, the hallelujah of grace, God's mercy and His grace is so sufficient to us when we come to Him in prayer. Because in Hebrews it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all of our infirmities, all of our weaknesses. And though He was tempted just like we were, yet He was out without sin. But see, He can identify with us. He can look at us and be sorrowful with us. And when we are in the hallelujah state or praise state, He worshiped with us, because we worship His holy name. Now, we can also worship the Lord in conversation. Ever known a truly positive person. Of course, we know negative person, people. We've been around those. But I like to dwell on the positive states of life itself, because when God created creation, when he made the creation of all things, all nature and animals and the skies and the stars and everything he put in it, he called it good. So to me, that's very positive. And he's looking for positive things in our lives. I was just thinking about the positive people within our church. And as I talk with you, I can understand why you're that way, because of your belief and because that you pray and you trust God with your life. You know, when I visit with Rand Hooten, I mean, he's been laid up since September the 20th, 18th, somewhere around there. And I know that it can be depressing. It can be, you know, very, very sad to be laid up and not be involved as he was. But when you visit with him, talk with him, and pray with him, you understand that he knows who's in control of his life. And Jimmy, I was thinking about Jimmy Lockshaw this morning as I was in my office at home and preparing for the message, and the impact that he made on our lives in a positive, because I never did see him, nothing negative about Jimmy. He was always positive in his conversations. That's what I'm talking about here this morning. We can be positive in our conversation as a praise, as a worship, as a hallelujah. And what better time of the year to demonstrate that, to pass it out on in this negative world in which we live? Because we just experienced that back in one day of this month, right? And it's still going on. And we as Christians, we need to step up to the plate and say, you know, put all that behind you and let's move forward, because God's in control, not man. Man's not going to govern what's going to take place in this world without the hand of God in the midst of it. And then when we see that and know what the Bible says, that I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, nothing will happen, nothing will take place without my approval. And God lets us kind of go along in his submissive will, but we prefer to work in God's perfect will in our lives. So when we think about positive people, I want to think of another positive person, and Shirley Pavey. This week, I don't know, you people on Facebook, there are friends on Facebook, well, you know, if you're friends with me, or a bunch of us are friends on Facebook, but as I was just glancing down and looking for the positive things, I don't look for the negative things on Facebook, because there's a lot of that stuff on there too. I'll just skip on over that. So if you put something on negative, I'll just skip on over it. But if it's positive, and Shirley Pavey, bless her heart, she thanked people on Facebook for all of their prayers, their cards, and thoughts over the past 3 weeks of her surgery. And she said, God is good. Sometimes we have to be hit hard to realize that we are here for a purpose. How many of you have read that? Yes, I see your hand. Then she went on to say, life is precious. Life is precious. She also said, one of the student nurses of UC Hospital came into my room and was asking what it took to keep a positive attitude. You know what she said? We then spent the afternoon discussing God and faith and the necessity of showing our beliefs. Did you hear that? She spent the whole afternoon. That's our conversation. That's offering praise to God. To a student, maybe haven't been involved in church, doesn't really know Jesus and his love and praise and things we offer up. So maybe Shirley's thinking about, well, maybe that's why God put me here, just for that one person who asked, what does it take to have a positive attitude? when we have a positive attitude, we're not going to be thinking about negative things. We're going to be thinking about our praise to God. Hallelujah. And, you know, we can be set back in our lives if we dwell on the negative things of life, things that have happened in the past, and we need to let them things go and give it to God. You know, if we'll give it to Him, you know, I'm just as guilty. I've had to just say, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. I give it to You. And that's why I can stand here today and say hallelujah to God, praise to God, that He's in control of all things. So don't allow yourself to get the reputation of being a negative person. Be positive like Shirley and Rand and Jimmy Lockshaw as he was, bless his heart. Knock that chip off your shoulder and focus on the goodness of God. Focus on Him. Now in conclusion, to turn thanksgiving into thanksgiving, we must make the sacrifice of our body, lay it all on the altar, the sacrifice of holiness, like David, the sacrifice of praise, find the attitude of gratitude. Find it. Look for it. I mean, you may have to dig after it, but you can find it if you look for it. If you're not looking for it, you'll never find it. But you can find it. And praise God early in the day before the rush. If we forget to do that, we get caught up in it, don't we? We get mixed up on it, and we'll even get on the bandwagon, won't we? Don't do that. Don't let that happen to you. Then again, in the hurried middle of the day, and at the end, as your day winds down, give praise to God. See, praise God as the first fruits, as the scripture says, of all your spoken words today, an offering that says, God loves me and I love God. If you say that, God, I know You love me and I love You, God, then we can have thanksgiving daily when our lips confess God's name in praise. Make the sacrifice of praise. And remember, determine you'll be a thermostat and not a thermometer. All right? Set the spiritual temperature around you. Just as those people I mentioned a while ago, Rand, Jimmy, Shirley, and many of you who I talk to on a regular basis who set the thermostat and the temperature around you that makes life lovable and livable. And like Shirley said, you know, God has a purpose for us. That's why we're still here. And then when our purpose has been served, He'll call us. But until then, let's make every effort in the world to praise Him and sing hallelujah to Him, because He deserves everything that we can give Him in praise. Let us pray. Our Father God, we just praise Your holy name this morning. We do thank You. We thank You from the bottoms of our hearts. And we thank You for the scripture that gives us Your insights of living, Your insights of praise and how we are to glorify You with our body, with our person, our wholeness, and our praise. These three things are very important for thanksgiving, to turn it into thanksgiving all year long. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You personally, not experiencing the praise and the joyfulness and the wholeness and the purity that You look for in our lives, Lord, they can find it today, right here in this altar, as we lay it all here. And there may be some here that's already made that step, already made that commitment to You with their heart and their life and their soul. And maybe it has just kind of slipped off of the altar. Lord, we know that we don't lose our salvation, but we can lose the joyfulness and the fellowship that we we have with you when we first met you. And we just pray, Lord, that just like the shepherd boy David, he said, renew a spirit in me. Don't withhold anything from me, Lord, because I know your loving kindness. I know that you are good. And Lord, you're willing to forgive. Maybe there's someone here today looking for a church home. Lord, we here at Versailles Baptist Church welcome people who are looking for a home to serve, a church, to be a part of church, to give of themselves to you. Lord, we all want to do that this morning. So may we examine it and look deep inside our hearts and our lives and be honest with ourselves so we can be honest with you that where we need to be in our thanksgiving so we can be thanks living all year long. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 202.